I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio, a Doctor Who podcast and part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other incredible geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, a show where we look at video games that do that stuff normally, but I don't really care to fix that or finish it or anything because that's not what we're doing today anyway. I am here talking to Brian Soroka, who sent me over just the coolest little comic script, and I want to know what happened. That sounds bad. I want to know what went into making this. So, Brian, how are you today?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me on my show. And also thank you for pronouncing my last name right. You got it on the first try. That's amazing.
Well, I am a Braves fan, and one of my favorite players for them is Mike Soroka.
Oh, no way. Okay. I'm a basketball guy, so I have no idea about baseball players, but that's cool.
Hey, it worked in getting your name pronounced right, so that's good enough, right?
There you go. A happy accident.
So, as I said, you sent me over a comic script. And it is for a thing that you're working on called Indefinite Articles. And this is the first like script like this I've seen. I've had plenty of people show me comics, you know, with art and everything. Some of it really crude art just because that's the level that they were. And they were just trying to get something on the page.
Yeah.
But this is the first time I've seen a script like this. And I don't really have a question. I guess we're just kind of throwing that out there so everybody knows the level that I'm at looking at this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. In that format you're speaking of, like just that bare script format without any images, illustrations, visuals, that sort of thing.
What I really liked what you did here, though, was having links to anything that you thought that you would really want to make sure that I knew what I was looking at. Like, military uniforms or military equipment and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's really important because I'm in the process now of trying to hook up with an artist and really just telling them that, you know, you have a couple of Australian World War One tanks rolling down the road. You know, it takes enough time to actually build the book and create the book and draw the book without having to resource all of those different, you know, images. Especially when they're real. So I've always done that in my script writing where it's, you know, especially if it's based on something real, I will give some reference points for the artist.
I guess maybe we should back up a little bit. Tell us about where you got the idea for Indefinite Articles, because now that I say that, the name is not really going to give people too much of an idea of what they're going to be reading.
For sure. Well, one, I should say, Indefinite Articles might not be the title moving forward. Quite a bit has changed with the book, I want to say, over the past 3 or 4 months. But the idea itself, the genesis of the idea, has been kind of swimming around my brain for, God, it's been going on 10 years now. And, you know, you get busy, life, work, all that sort of thing. And then by the time you get to this kind of stuff, if it's not your main gig, you know, gets kind of pushed to the wayside. So, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, just working on it, kind of fleshing out the idea. And really, it was born out of my love for history. Just always been a big fan of, you know, watching the History Channel, checking out, you know, World War One, World War Two as well. Just different things that have shaped, you know, the world as we know it. And even more than that, being a writer, historical fiction has been, you know, one of my loves. I guess if you could really call it a genre, it's my favorite one. And just really having these real characters interact with fictional characters and then kind of reshaping history, you know, kind of like Quentin Tarantino did in Glorious Bastards. And, you know, there are some other examples of that as well. But I just thought it was really cool kind of taking what's real and then kind of molding it in a different fashion and changing the outcome, whether it's, you know, the actual end result or if it's just little details along the way.
And that love of history really comes off, because, I mean, I'm not a super big into World War One person, but I do know roughly what went on. And so seeing the dates in here with what I know that things were generally happening, seeing places in here that I know things happened in, that's really cool to me. And I'm sure is really cool to somebody who knows even more of what's going on just in real world history.
Yeah. And I mean, in that sense, like, so if it's an actual conflict, so the conflicts that you read in that first script, I try to stay as true to the dates as possible. Sometimes you have to finagle them a bit just to kind of shape around the narrative. But for the most part, you know, it's really, the internet is a godsend for someone like me. I mean, you know, back when I started writing many, many years ago, it was, you know, making a trip to the library and then going, sitting down behind the microfiche. And for those of you who don't know what a microfiche is, you can actually check it out online. But really just now it's a matter of hop online and you can just get all the information you want in ridiculous amounts of detail. And, again, you know, for indefinite articles or whatever it's going to end up being titled, the idea was always to kind of blend that history, but also bring it into, contemporary times, into modern times or present times. But that's really been the major change of the book, really just kind of checking out some of Mike Mignola's stuff, Lobster Johnson, and some of that, some of the other books like that, that are kind of spinoffs of Hellboy. I think the direction moving forward is going to be keeping developing arcs. So let's say 3 to 6 issue arcs that are dedicated to a specific encounter. So Gallipoli is what we were talking about in that first issue, the Battle of Gallipoli. Again, if you guys have never heard of that, just go online and check it out, and then reshaping that and then kind of bringing that to Jutland, which was really the first encounter in World War One, or in the history of world wars, where the battle was done at sea. So we had destroyers, we had dreadnoughts, really the first time that ever happened. So I thought that was a really cool setting to kind of center the book on, and then introduce my characters, and then, you know, have them reshape the ending of that encounter.
So one of the things that I really liked when you sent this over for me to look at was you really didn't tell me much about it.
Yep.
And I'm having read it, I'm assuming that was just totally on purpose.
Yeah, I don't want to give people any kind of predisposed ideas of what the story is. I mean, you know, I can send you a log line or the elevator pitch, that sort of thing. But really, I mean, coming in fresh, I think, is the best way to read any story. Maybe you have a basic outline of what the plot is. But other than that, you know, I always like that element of surprise and people reading it and figuring things out for themselves. And that's how I think you get your best kind of critique from people that are reading your stuff.
So what made you want to write this as a comic versus in some other kind of format?
Well, I'm actually writing it as an hour-long drama as well, television. So that's kind of like been bouncing back and forth. But I figure really, comics are my first love. I mean, I picked up my first comic book when I was 6 years old. It was, God, I'm trying to remember. I think it was Daredevil 181. It's a really iconic cover where you have the Hulk's fist in the foreground and Daredevil. He's all beat to hell in the background. I don't know if you're familiar with that issue, but that was really kind of like my first foray into comics. And then ever since then, you know, I was a child of the 80s. So really getting into Burns, Fantastic Four, Simonson's Thor, Frank Miller's Daredevil, and so many other great books, you know, George Perez and Bill Sienkiewicz, and all these great artists and writers and guys that are playing dual roles, just really getting me excited about the medium. And then, you know, naturally being a writer myself, you always want to take a kick at that can and see if you can do it yourself. And so I mean, all of those things, and plus my love for film, I'm a huge film geek. I guess that kind of goes part and parcel with being a comic book guy as well. You'll find that most people, you know, love film, love horror, or love comic books, kind of all rolled into one. And then just, you know, trying to approach it from that level of passion and love and just really respect for the canon, and then just taking that 80s sensibility of comic books, which I found to be a lot more fun than books are today. And don't get me wrong, you know, I'm only expressing my opinion here. I'm not saying one's good and one's bad, but there's so many books out there that take themselves so very, very seriously. It's just, you know, I remember reading books as a kid and it was like, I had fun reading them. I want to, and I want people to have fun reading my book as well. So it's, you know, I deal with serious subject matter. Obviously World War One was no joke. But just through the dialogue and, you know, maybe introducing a bit more levity to the situation as well, just to kind of capture that spirit of the books of the 80s that I so loved.
So what has been the big difference in writing the comic versus writing it for TV?
Oh, it's completely different, right? Because I find writing for comics more challenging, simply because you don't have the luxury of moving pictures, right? If you're writing a TV script, you can just go on and explain the scene. And then, you know, the character's doing their thing. Whereas in a comic book, obviously, you're dealing with a static interpretation, still visual, but at the same time, you've got to be a bit more judicious with how you treat the movement and the dialogue. And then you also have to make sure, obviously, that the story flows, that there's no kind of like dead points and that people are understanding the language and the order of action that's going on. And still kind of be bombastic and dramatic and have all those things going on and have people excited about reading it as well.
How concerned are you with being 100% historically accurate, you know, outside of the timeline stuff we already talked about, versus just having like the main gist of what was going on?
Like I said, it is very important, but at the same time, sometimes you got to be have a little creative license with it, insofar as the months and days. So if you remember during the script, you know, we started off with the main character, Lyle. He's setting off to, they're in Istanbul, Constantinople, which is now Istanbul. And, you know, and then a couple of months later, he's meeting with the general of the United States armies. And I wanted to have a bit more time lapse there because just to give it a bit more weight. And for them, the background is that the army's trying to find out what Lyle's all about and how he was able to realize that impossible shot. Just to give a little background on that scene as well. So Lyle, he's the main character, Lyle Gorch, which should be a familiar name to some people. I'm a huge War Notes fan. He's a character actor, and I named him after one of my favorite movies of all time, The Wild Bunch. But I digress. So anyway, he's off to Istanbul to liquidate Mehmed V. Rashad, who is the Ottoman leader. And then we kind of fast forward to him being interviewed by John Pershing, who is the general of the U.S. armies. And they want to find out from Lyle, you know, how he realized the shot, because he's like a half a kilometer out. He's 200 meters below the kill zone. Winds are blowing at 35 kilometers an hour, or 35 knots, rather, sorry. And it's really an impossible shot. So this catches the attention of some of the higher-ups in the U.S. Army who really want to find a way to combat these kind of fantastical threats that are kind of popping up left, right, and center over the last, let's say, 18 or 19 months. I don't want to give too much away, but that's really the basis of the opening salvo there. And in a roundabout way, answering your question, where it is... that takes place, and I've stuck true to the date. And then a couple of months later, I wanted him to head over to Texas to meet with Pershing. And then a couple of months after that is the Jutland incident. So I kind of like push that back a bit. But for the most part, I mean, it takes place during the same year.
And I'm completely with you and not wanting to give too much away.
Yeah, I tend to ramble sometimes because I'm really excited about it, if you couldn't tell. But yeah, I mean, there's lots going on, and I always forget that. My stories tend to be a bit more dense. I mean, that's one of the most consistent comments I get about my writing is that there's a lot going on, but hopefully not at the risk of diluting the story or making it confusing. I just always liked ensemble pieces, you know, team books, you know, Fantastic Four, Avengers, Suicide Squad, Squadron Supreme. Those were always my favorite books. I like the solo books as well, but the ensemble pieces, just because you get that greater sense of dichotomy and, you know, butting of heads and, you know, opportunities for some like humoristic moments and things like that. Just found it more interesting and more layered as a story.
So you said earlier that you were in the process of trying to find an artist. I mean, obviously you don't have to give away who or anything, but what has been your process in trying to find somebody?
Oh man, it's been tough simply because, you know, everybody's looking for a paid gig, but I want to do a back end deal. And the reason for that is not because I'm cheap, which I kind of am, but that's not the reason behind it. I don't want to work with a hired gun because I want to work with someone who I can partner with, who is into the creative process, who wants to take ownership of it, who's really into the story. And by all means, I mean, I'm looking for a partner. I'm not looking for someone just, you know, hire their pen and ink and go to work, right? Because that's just, it's a really kind of, I put my heart and soul into the story, so I want to make sure that its visual elements are just as passionate or driven by passion as that. So really just, yeah, I've been on the search. I haven't been spending that much time on it, but yeah, I haven't had any luck thus far. But again, you know, still working on the scripts and finalizing that. So, you know, I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between tightening that up and then finding someone who wants to work on the art.
And one of the common themes that I've had on all of these is having people pay the artist or, you know, whoever they're going with them. And I'm certainly not going to ask you numbers because that's none of my business, because I can't do art, so I don't care.
Right.
But I also want to point out here that there are multiple ways of getting this done. And, you know, obviously paying somebody up front to be a hired gun kind of person, I mean, if that's what you want, that works. But finding somebody who is willing to kind of take a chance with you and then get paid later, you know, that's, they're still getting paid. You just have to, you have a different set of people who are willing to do that kind of work.
Well, yeah, and plus it's the chance to have co-creator status, right? It's not just somebody who's going to, okay, here's $120 a page and I need 6 pages, let's go to it. I'm sure I could find a really great artist. I mean, there's a lot of really talented people out there. But again, you can really tell when somebody's just drawing for the sake of drawing and when somebody's just really into it. It's the same when you watch a comic book, a film based on a comic book, and you just know the director doesn't really respect the canon before it, right? It's like Ratner. When he did that X-Men film, it was just, you could see he was mailing it in.
So, I have no idea what you're talking about. That movie never happened.
Yes. So, and there's been lots of examples of that. And then you get like a film like Deadpool, where you have, you know, the creators, especially Ryan Reynolds, who's just so madly in love with the story and the world and the setting. You can feel it, right? You can't fake that. And the same goes for artwork and the same goes for writing, right? I mean, you know, you read the script. Hopefully you felt that kind of like, yeah, this guy's really digging, you know, creating the story. And you can see it in the dialogue and in the scene descriptions and the level of detail and all of those wonderful things.
Reading this made me think about if I ever decide to actually write a comic and then realize it's not just a direct ripoff of something that already exists. Because, I mean, like, I can see the art stuff in my head, but there's no way I can make it actually come out of me.
Hey, man, that's one of my greatest wishes. I wish I was a decent illustrator. I just wish that, you know, I could be like that. Again, going back to John Byrne or Frank Miller or Walt Simonson, those guys that, you know, they're great writers and they're also great illustrators. But yeah, I am definitely not. So, yeah, the hunt continues.
So, are you planning to self-publish this, or are you going to try to take it to a publisher?
Well, that's the thing, and that's why I want to hook up with an artist. It's, in my experience, it's virtually impossible to pitch your work without the complete package, whether you're talking about image, whether you're talking about AWA, whether you're talking about any of these kind of, like, you know, upper, middle, fledgling, however you want to term them, publishers, they want the complete package. So sending out a bunch of scripts, no matter how good it might be, your chances of actually landing that publisher are slim and none, and closer to the latter, right? So I figure, you know, and you've read the story, so hopefully you dug it as well. It sounds like you did. But really, if I have that really strong story with that artist who is into the work, like I was describing before, then I have no doubt that it's going to be picked up by someone. I mean, at the risk of sounding modest, it's really good. I mean, it's a really good book. I've spent a lot of time on it. It's highly detailed. It's highly original. I mean, certainly you can draw parallels between it and some other books out there, but you can always do that. But really, I mean, just based on my experience and all the books that I have read over the years, I can't really pinpoint one that you would confuse with this. So, you know, in my mind, again, at the risk of being modest, it's quite original. It's really fun, and it's got a bunch of really cool characters that harken back to a time in comic book heyday, where it's a lot of fun, but not at the risk of sacrificing those dramatic kind of whoa kind of elements, right? Which I think this book has as well.
Yeah, I can safely say it has at least one.
Just one?
No, that's my very safe thing.
Okay.
To not spoil.
Which one?
Well, for the one that I will leave in here, just Lyle being so cocky, I don't miss.
Ah, yeah, the opening salvo, yeah. Well, he's just being truthful because he doesn't.
By the time this comes out, the episode where I've talked to Mike from 215 Inc. will have already come out. And, you know, he said the same thing. You can have a story all day long, but when people pitch stuff to him, he wants to see the art.
Yep.
And so it really makes me wonder, what if I'm just a horrible people person and horrible at finding an artist, but I am a wonderful writer?
I'm sure there's many, many out there. And I understand it. I mean, I can't really point my fingers at publishers and say, well, you know, you should really take the time and check this out. But, you know, they receive hundreds and sometimes thousands of submissions. So really their job is to get product out there on the shelves and, you know, to take the time and, okay, here's a script. Now we got to hook you up with an artist. Now we got to do all of that. And it's going to be so much time before we can actually, you know, get this product out on the shelves. You know, from a business and a marketing perspective, you can understand that. So, you know, it took me a while to realize that. So that's why, again, I'm in this process of finding that artist. But I'm not going to rush into it. I want to find that perfect person, whoever he or she, or whichever pronoun they choose to use. They've really got to be into it. I want them to take ownership of it because there's going to be some character designs involved. I actually have a show Bible, which, again, is kind of based on the TV iteration of this. But it'll give a very strong sense of direction of what these characters look and feel like. But at the same time, you know, I've always felt that collaboration is the best way to arrive at the best kind of final product, especially when it comes to something like this. So that's what I'm looking for in an artist. Again, not somebody just to kind of scribble down a couple of really cool images or splash pages or double splash pages. I really want them to be invested in the content, the characters, and the stories, and give me their input, right? Because that's how, Indefinite Articles really kind of shifted from its original incarnation. And that was actually another back and forth I was having with somebody on Twitter where I shared the story as well. And, you know, I kind of gave him the log line, which is really kind of like that one sentence explanation of what the story is all about. And then after he read it, he was like, I really wasn't expecting this. He thought it was going to be much, much different, something closer to the script that you actually read. And it's not that he didn't like it, but I think he was a bit disappointed because he wanted more of a focus on that historical fiction aspect of the book and kind of delving into that and having those fictional characters interact with those real people. And sometimes, you know, when you work on something for so long, you get a bit too close to it, and you've got to take a step back and figure out, you know what? I never thought of this. And that's where, again, you know, collaboration comes into play. So once I thought about it, I kind of reformatted the script, and it's wholly focused now on those historical events and periods, and that's the way it's going to be moving forward. And I got to say, it's much stronger for it.
So how long do you expect to make this series go? Because, I mean, the one thing I will kind of sort of spoil in here is right at the end, it says, hey, up next, here's a title.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned before, or I touched upon before, there's going to be different eras, because I will spoil something about Lyle. His ability, which will kind of come up in the second issue, the genesis of it, also prolongs his life expectancy. So he's actually still around today. So back in 1915, when the book takes place, he's in his late 20s. So his aging process is definitely a bit slower. And the reason why I wanted to do that is I wanted to have one mainstay character that kind of bounces back and forth. So we're in World War One, and there's going to be, this arc is going to be about 4 or 5 issues. And then we're going to go to World War II, and then we're going to go to the Korean conflict and Vietnam. And the whole idea is, and the log line now reads, is this group of black ops agents reshape history as we know it. Right? So some of the outcomes of these different battles, skirmishes, wars, what have you, they kind of changed the narrative in a lot of ways. So in the case where the Allies lost this certain encounter, now all of a sudden they won because they had these guys on their side. So yeah, that's the background on that.
Now, I'm really excited to be able to read more of this. I think that you've got a wonderful story here, and I can't wait to see what kind of artists you can find to make everything happen, because I kind of have an idea just from reading the script and the format you use there of how things are going to, you know, structurally happen, but the real aesthetic aspect of it, I mean, somebody's going to be able to have a lot of fun with this.
Oh, God, yeah. There's just, and that's another thing. I've always been a big fan of mashups. And, you know, being, again, a lover of comic books, a lover of film, it's kind of like science fiction, horror, comedy, action, adventure, historical era pieces. All of these things come into play. I mean, you know, again, not spoiling too much, but I've got like elves and pixies and demons and Martians and Amazons and half man, half shark Nazis. And I've got all these different things kind of like all being thrown into the mix. So for an artist, it's really something that they can sink their teeth into and really challenge them at the same time, because there's a lot of different things going on. I mean, you mentioned it before in the script where I've embedded those links, where I reference the attire, let's say, of an Australian troop in World War One, or a tank, or a Harley Davidson motorcycle with a sidecar, or the palace in Istanbul, all these different things where I think it's really important because they are real, that they are depicted as such, and it's not left completely up to the imagination of the person that's rendering it.
Well, Brian, it's been great talking to you about this. And again, you know, I can't wait to see this in a more final form, although, you know, reading it like this was obviously fun as well. If people want to hear more from you or, you know, learn more about your project, where else can they find you around the internet?
Really just on Twitter. I don't really post any of my work online, although I have copyrighted indefinite articles, so the intellectual property is mine, which is all well and good. Yeah, man, I just got to find an artist, and it hasn't been easy.
Well, if art was easy, then even I'd be able to do it.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about the talent level. It's just finding someone who, you know, wants to take ownership of it.
Well, I hope you can find somebody so that I can see this, or you know, even if I end up having to see it on TV, and I didn't mean to say that, like it would be some kind of worse thing.
Yeah, I'm glad you like the story. I'm having a blast writing it. So, like I said, it's been a lot of fun, and there's just so many different places that I can take it. It's really going to kind of be self-contained. Like I was saying before, it's going to be, we'll have four issues that are dedicated to the current line, and then maybe we'll jump ahead to the Korean conflict and some battle that took place there, and up and down, up and down.
Also, the last question I have, which, you know, because this is something that isn't as finished as anything else we've looked at, obviously you're going to tell me when you get it in a more final form and we can share it even more, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. It might not be for a bit, but I will definitely make sure to give you a ring.
Well, I'm really looking forward to that because I really want to see that happen. And I really doubt that my contact information will ever change. So you'll definitely have it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thank you for yours. Thank you for the multitudes of rescheduling we've had to do for various reasons.
Yeah, no, I'm glad we did this.
And as always, if you guys want to keep up with me, head on over to Twitter at PlayComicsCast. You can head on over to the Gunna Geek website where you can check out some other wonderfully geeky shows. Links to all that will be down in the show notes. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character.
The main character, Lyle, he's setting off to, they're in Constantinople, which is now Istanbul.